was thinking as they were singing that song, I remember, and many of you do too, when David and Meredith were bringing Leah home from the hospital and then bringing her right here to church, and she's grew up right amongst us, right in, before our very eyes, and now serving the Lord. And I praise the Lord for you young people. I want you to know, the young people that are in the church that are serving God, I praise the Lord for you. Your pastor loves you. And I'm grateful for you. I'm humbled that God is always only good. Amen. What a humbling thing when you really think about it. He's the only one that could be said about. He is always only good. That's very humbling, especially in light of who we are. He's always good to us. I certainly see the goodness of God in the lives of others. I've seen the goodness of God in many of your lives. It's evidenced in your life. But there's nothing like contemplating and reflecting on the goodness of God in my own life. God has been very, very good to me. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
God is good, brother.
Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
So I don't understand that, preacher. I don't understand it. I'm just rejoicing in it.
Amen.
Amen. I'm rejoicing in the fact that the God of heaven is good to me.
Amen.
Me. And I don't want to take that for granted. I want to give him the glory.
Amen.
I publicly want to bless his holy name.
Amen.
He is worthy.
Amen.
Of all of our praise.
Amen.
Worthy. We could get on our faces before the God of heaven and stay prostrated before him for the duration of this service, this day, and it would still not be enough.
Amen.
For eternity, it would not be enough to say thank you. Thank you for what you have done for me. What a good God we have.
Amen.
What a good God.
Amen.
If you do not realize the goodness of God, it's not because God is not good. It's because you are not aware. And I pray that God would awaken our awareness to his goodness. That's what Psalm 126 is about. Psalm 126 is about the goodness of God. It has some things in it that I want to share with you this morning. Psalm 126, if you'll notice, right under the psalm, it has a song of degrees right in the middle of the 150 psalms that we have in our Bible. There is these songs of degrees, which means the song of ascent, the song of going up, the songs that the children of Israel would sing as they were ascending upon Jerusalem, as they were ascending upon the temple. They were singing on their way to church. Did you sing on the way to church this morning? Did you bring your worship with you? Did you thank God for getting you up this morning? When you got up and started to the church house this morning, did you say, God, thank you that I have a place where I can go to worship you? Say, oh, preacher, I can worship God in a tree. I know that. But, oh, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's no place like God's house, brethren. No place like it. And these people would get together, the people of God, and they would begin to ascend upon the temple. And as they were marching upon the temple, they would begin to sing these songs of degree. And these songs, not only were they ascending geographically, not only were they ascending toward the temple, they were ascending, and the songs would intensify as they made their way closer to the temple. So that when they made their way inside of the temple, when their feet would step upon the holy grounds of the temple, they would lift their hands and give praise and glory and honor to God. Would to God that we would have that conviction in our heart in this day in which we live. God, give me that. Amen. I want that. And I believe you do too. You know it's yours if you want it. It's mine if I want it. You came to church this way the way you chose to. I did too. Oh, listen, I'm a parent of four. And they're pretty close in age. So I know what it is to get up and fight that fight on Sunday morning. You know, I never fought those fights on Monday morning. Sharon and I never fought those fights. We had fights on Sundays that we didn't have Monday through Saturday. You too. Well, I tell you, there's just something about getting ready when you got those little ones. How many of you can testify with me when you have little children and you're trying to get them ready for church, and it just seems like everything that could go wrong does sometimes. And if you're not careful, when you get to church, instead of bringing your worship with you, you bring your confession with you. Amen. You come into the front door of the church and head straight for the altar, or at least you should. Amen. You done said something bad about everybody on the road that won't get out of your way, and it somehow got outside of the car, inside of the car, and now you're pointing out people inside the car to get mean with. The old devil wants to keep you from worshiping God, is what I'm trying to say this morning. May we this morning look at this song of ascent, and may we say, God, give me that heart. God, give me that heart. Help me to worship you. Help me to bring my worship with me. I don't want to have to get to church and be pumped up and primed and have to sing about, you know, half the hymn book and hear about 30 minutes of preaching before I really get ready to worship. God, help me to prepare my heart. See, that's what these songs of ascent, that's what these songs of degree, that's what they were written for. They were written as a preparatory work in the heart of man, in the heart of woman, in the heart of the people, to prepare their hearts to meet with a holy God, to worship Him for who He is and for what He has done in their lives. May we do that in the day in which we live. Let's look at it, okay? There's three main divisions in the psalm. With the Lord's help, I'd like to kind of get to that last one a little early so I can spend a little time there. It's going to be hard because the first two are just really filled with good stuff. You know this psalm. I'd say that many people's life verse is Psalm 126, verse 6. It's about winning souls. It's about reaching other people for Jesus. It's about getting the gospel. It's about sowing the seed. It's about shedding tears for the lost. It's about shedding tears for those outside of the realm that is called the people of God. Whether you want to take it back to the day of the Psalms and the people of God nationally speaking, which is Israel. And by the way, we heard a prayer request this morning. Pray for Israel. The Bible says, well, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They're at war. They've always been at war. They will always be at war. But I'm going to tell you, their prince is coming back. He's my prince now. Amen. I done got grafted in. I've been adopted into the family. He's my prince now. And one day the Prince of Peace is going to come back, and he's going to end that war. He's going to end all wars. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to set up his kingdom in the city of Jerusalem, and he's going to rule there, brethren. Our Prince Jesus is going to rule there. It's real, brethren. It's coming. It's coming. And the Bible says here that in verse number 1, 2, and 3, I want you to think about this thought. Praise for spiritual returning. The children of Israel had been in captivity. Did you know you could be saved and still bound? Did you know that you could be set free and still entangled? Did you realize that you, this morning even, we're not part of the people of God nationally speaking. Listen, the church is not spiritual Israel. The church is the body of Christ. Israel's the wife of Jehovah. The church is the body of Christ. We've been studying that in Wednesday nights when we were marching through the Revelation. And as a part of the body of Christ, I'm glad I'm a part of the bride, aren't you? I'm so glad for that. And so when we think about this morning, we've been set free, brethren. We've been set free. And the Bible says that whom the Son hath set free is free indeed. Thank God for being delivered. But you know, when you get set free, if you're not careful now, the old devil will entangle you again with the affairs of this world. And you'll find yourself in bondage again. It can happen. I'm not saying you lose your salvation. That is an absolute impossibility. According to the Word of God, not me, but what saith the Scriptures. And yet, they're singing a song. They're going back up to the temple, and they're just rejoicing. Thank God we're free. Amen. Thank God we're free again. We're going back to the temple to worship again. We've been down there in Babylon. We've done hung our harps on the willow tree, and we haven't worshiped for some time, but thank God we're free again. Amen. God then set us free again to go back into the temple to worship and to praise Him and to be with His people and to be in His house. And they were just rejoicing. If you're here today and you're saved, I pray that you came to church that way this morning. Say, preacher, I've been saved a long time. Yeah, I look around our congregation. We've got some aged saints of God, been saved a long time. And they will stand and testify to you that it's just as real today as it was the day they got in. Amen. The day they got saved. It's just as real. It's just as potent. Just as powerful. Amen. Just as relative. The children of Israel were thanking God that they were free. They said, we've returned. Notice what it says here. Look, if you would. When the Lord, verse 1, turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. It says, it's like a dream. We didn't know if this was going to come to an end. We didn't know that we were going to ever be free again. We didn't know that we were going to experience that liberty, that deliverance, that freedom. We just didn't know that we were going to be able to get back into the temple, to get back with our people, to worship our God in His house. And hey, brother, it's just really been on my heart. I don't ever want to take that for granted. I don't ever want to take this place for granted. I don't ever want to take worship for granted. That we still live in a country where a man can stand and preach what saith the Scriptures. And we can say amen to it without having to look over our shoulder and look at the doors and wonder when they might come busting through the doors and take a siege and take us into bondage and to haul us off. I don't want to take that for granted. So I want to come to this place and I want to worship and I want to worship according to the leading of the Holy Spirit without fear and reservation. And that's what they said. They said in verse number 1, they said, you know, it was like a dream come true. We just didn't know what we had until we were in captivity and we realized what we were missing. And my, how good it is to be back, they said, in the house of God. They were walking and marching their way up to the temple to worship God. Look at verse number 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Oh, my. They said, we were just so full of joy. And it said, our tongues were singing. When you come to the house of God, you ought to open up a songbook and just sing from your heart. And say, preacher, I can't sing. Oh, listen, sure you can. If you have a voice, you can sing. Now, you might not be ready to make no recordings. Amen. But we didn't come here. Listen, we're not here to make recordings. We're here to make praise. We're here to worship God. I'm afraid somebody standing behind me might not think I can sing good. Well, they might not can sing good, according to you. But I'm going to tell you what it is. It's music in the ears of our Savior. To hear people sing His praises. To hear people worship Him in song. And the Bible says here in verse number 2, our mouth was filled with laughter. Our tongue was singing. See, this is the way you ought to approach the church. This is what these folks were doing. They had done without it for a while. This privilege was taken away from them. They realized what they had and now they missed it. I pray God doesn't have to take something from me before I'll miss it. I pray that I won't have to do without before I realize what I had. Don't you? But you know, sometimes we are kind of wired that way. We really don't know what we have and how to appreciate it until we do without it. They said our mouth, it was then now. It was then was our mouth. Then what? What? When we were set free. When God showed us favor and God showed us mercy and He delivered us from our captivity and He turned the tide and He put us back as a free people and we could march back up to the temple of God and worship Him. And He said in verse number 2, our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue was singing. I like this part. Then said they among the heathen, now the lost around them, the heathen nations, those that did not march with them. Now listen to me, brethren, listen to me. Those that didn't march up to the temple with them. Those nations that didn't make offerings and sacrifices unto God. Those that were not called by the name of the Lord, those that were on the outside looking in, saw what God was doing in the hearts of those people, and they said, wow, their God sure is good to them. Look at it. I wonder when people look on your life, on my life, on our lives, on this church. Look at what it says in verse number 2, the latter part of it. It says, then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. It said, God is good to those people. See, I want to live in such a way that when people hear me and see me and view me and watch me, you say, oh, preacher, nobody's watching me. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. We're always being watched. Not only is the watchful eye of a righteous God on us, not only are the little children and the brethren looking on us, but the lost outside of the family of God are looking on us. And they said, wow, their God is sure is good to them. I want the lost to feel that way about me, don't you?
Amen.
Not that I could brag, and if I were to brag, it certainly wouldn't be on me, it'd be on God. They didn't say that's a good people. They said that people has a good God. Is that what it says, brethren? Look at it again at the latter part of verse number 2. It says, then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. You see, I want to testify with my life, with my lips, in such a way that those outside of Christ will look on me and my family and say, you know what? That man's God sure has been good to him. That man's God sure is good to his family. I want it to be to where when people look at Fellowship Baptist Church and they don't think about Dale Freeman or David Oliver or Brandon or Freeman or B.J. Short or your family or my family, I want them to look at our God and say, you know what? Those people down there at Fellowship Baptist Church, their God sure is good to them. Their God sure has met their need. Their God sure has supplied for them. Their God sure is faithful to them. Their God sure is good to them during the time of storms and trials. He gives them peace in the storm. And he gives them joy in the night. Their God is just good to them that way, amen. What a testimony. It's one thing when we glorify God. It's another when our brethren glorify God on our behalf. But brethren, when the lost, when the heathen that deny him, when the heathen that reject him can look on the people of God and say, my, their God sure has done great things for them. Brethren, that's when you know God is in the midst. God is in the midst. When those that are without him, when those that reject him will look and say, wow, their God is real. See, all this is building up to something. It's a song of ascent. It's a song of going up. We're getting ready to hear the importance of sowing the seed. The importance of getting the word out. The importance of harvesting a crop. But we're not going to do it if our lives do not send forth the message that our God is worth serving. Right? That's the message here. I like the way the psalmist worded this in verse number 2, the latter part. He said, they say, then said they, the Lord is good. Now I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Look at verse 3. And then he said, the Lord hath done great things for us. We're going to say it too. We're going to put a big old amen right there. You're right, heathen. You got that right. Our God is good to us. See, they said, boy, the Lord's good to them. And they said, you're right. The Lord sure is good to us. Amen. Is that what's happening here, brethren? It sure is. It sure is. And so we see this spiritual returning. But you know, it's not enough just to get back to the land. It wasn't enough just to get set free. Now listen to me. They had kind of dropped the webs and the strings and the affairs of the world that entangled them. They said, but you know, we don't want to be satisfied. Now, here's where we'll miss it a lot of times. I can speak for myself. I'll say me, and you just fill in the blank. If you'll miss it, then okay. If not, that's okay too. Here's where I'll miss it sometimes. I'll realize that God has done something, and I'll realize the goodness of God, but I don't want to ever forget this, brethren. God has more for me. I don't want the devil to rob me of God's fullest potential in my life. So, well, preacher, your life's, you know, your ministry and life's about to come to a close. Well, as long as I'm here, I want God to get all out of me that God has purpose for me.
Amen.
How about you?
Yeah.
I didn't give the devil too much. I don't want to give him nothing else. Young people, learn at an early age. Learn at an early age. Don't give him anything. And if he gets it, you'll give it to him. Because greater is he that's within the world than he that's within us and he that's within the world. And if he gets it from you, it'll be because you give it to him.
Amen.
He can't take it.
No, he can't.
Amen. Stand in Christ alone. Stand in Christ. Stand on his word. And so verse 4 said this. It said, not only are we thankful for spiritual returning, but we need some spiritual reviving. We're glad to be back in the land, but we want to be back with the Lord. Somebody say amen with me. We're glad to be back in the house of the Lord, but we want to know something about the Lord of the house. We want God to continue to move in our midst. We're not just glad to be back where we used to be. We want to go further, Lord. Take us further. Take us deeper. And so they said this in verse number 4. Turn again our captivity. Amen. Turn again our captivity. Take us further, Lord. Let us learn from this captivity. Take us further. Don't let us get satisfied. Don't let me get comfortable. I don't want to be average. God, help me to be willing. Help me to be clay in the potter's hand. And so he said, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Oh, listen, while we are thankful for the mercy drops that fall all around us, it's for the showers we plead. See, if we're not careful, we'll get satisfied. The church is open. I'll just run on down to the church house whenever it's convenient. Now listen to me. I'll just witness when it's convenient. I'll just do this when it's convenient. Now listen, that's how you get in captivity. And they're saying, teach us from that captivity. Turn us again. Look at verse 4. Turn again our captivity. Let us learn from this captivity. And as we learn from it, God, may we receive the showers of blessing, the flowing of the water, the freshness of the streams. May it all stay fresh to us, Lord. Help us not to allow church and the reading of the word and the witnessing and the lost souls that are around us and the soul winning and the missions and all this involved in what we got saved to do. God, help me not to take it for granted. Help me not to be stale with it. I want it to be fresh. Don't you? Amen. I want it to be fresh. And that's what he's saying. We march up to this house day after day, the children of Israel marching up, saying, God, don't let us take this for granted now. Amen. Help us remember this can come to a close. Help us remember we could put ourselves in a position through our laxness, our lukewarmness, leaving our first love. It's just a warning. Don't take this. Well, you know, the preacher, he's kind of throwing us under the bus. I'm not throwing you under the bus. I want you to get on the bus. Let's ride up to this place together. All right? Don't take for granted what God has given you. And I'm not even indicating and making reference that you are. I'm just saying that be careful. Be careful. Enjoy what God's given you, but don't take it for granted. Be thankful. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. I woke up this morning and I got up. Now, if you're not careful, you'll say, what's the big deal? Because there were some people this morning that didn't wake up. And there are others who did and they didn't get up. They'll lay upon that bed all day.
Yep.
And all day tomorrow. If they wake up, and all day the next day. But I woke up this morning, and I got up. And I prayed. I remember a time when I didn't pray. But I sure am glad that God put it in my heart to pray. Amen. I'm not saying I'm something. I'm just saying there was a time when I didn't pray. I'm glad I understand the value of prayer. I don't want to take those things for granted. And I think that's what the psalmist is saying. Then he said this in verse number 5, and this is where we'll spend a little time. Now, when I say a little time, it could be 5 minutes. A little time to a preacher could be 5 minutes, could be 25 minutes. So you pray. Yeah. Look at verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. There's a principle in the scripture, and this is not my message, the principle of sowing and reaping. It's God's principle. That's not man's principle. That's God's principle. We need to learn some things about that principle. There's a lot of great truth in the principle of sowing and reaping. And God said, you do the work. Have you gotten your assignment? Have you? So my assignment's to preach. It's got to go beyond that. My assignment is to usher. I'm glad. Thank God for our ushers. My assignment is to teach Sunday school. Thank God for that. Praise God for you. My assignment is to play instruments. Praise God. God has surely gifted us and blessed us with great instrumentalists and with people with talent. My assignment is to sing. And while your assignment may not be my assignment and all of those things, we're all members of the body. There's an assignment that we all share. It's the assignment to tell. Did you get the assignment? Are you fulfilling the assignment? As you're marching up, listen to me now, to the temple. As you are ascending on the house of God, and you're singing about how blessed you are, and the heathen are looking on the outside in and saying, my, your God is good to you. Does it even dawn on you? You could enjoy this too. When you pass by your neighbors and they were out in the yard or they were taking a walk or whatever they were doing, when you rode down the street and folks were doing a manner of many other things that they were doing on this, the Lord's day, did you think? They need to be told too. I want them to come and go with me. Back when I first got saved, people used to have a little bumper sticker, and I'm not a bumper sticker guy. I never got one, but I did have the mindset, follow me too, and then they would have their church. How many of you remember when churches used to have that bumper sticker, raise your hand? Okay, a bunch of old folks, amen, yeah. People quit doing that. People quit doing that a long time ago. But that's what it said. Follow me down, and then to put the name of your church, you know, the Fellowship Baptist Church, whatever church you attend. Because they wanted to stay mindful of, you know what? I'm going to go down there and worship God, but I want others to worship Him. My God is so worthy. I want my neighbors to go down and worship Him with me. Amen? I want my family to go down and worship Him with me. I want my friends to go down to the house of God and worship my God with me. I even want my enemies to go down there. And so he said, how's that going to happen? We'll give you some words and then we'll bring this to a close. Your prayers are working. God said there's a program. And he said if you want to fulfill your assignment. By the way, don't you think for one moment that we don't have the greatest example of a sower ever. I'm going to talk to you about sowing because that's what this is about. Now, some people call it soul winning. I wouldn't be offended. I'm not going to split hairs with you. I'm not going to do that. And there's too much in this book. I don't have time to split hairs with people. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus gave a parable of the sower. Now, he did it in the other gospel accounts too, at least the what's called the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, okay? And he gave the parable of the sower, and he said, you know, the sower is the person, it's the farmer, it's the man who has the seed bag, and he goes and he sows the seed. And Jesus gave that parable. And he even told the type of soil that sower was sowing seed on. Now be careful, all right? God didn't call me, God didn't call you to determine the surface of the seed. He just said, you sow. Don't worry about if it's soft, don't worry about if it's hard. Don't you worry about that. God's going to take care of that. You just sow. See, you could sow and you say, I tell you right now, that's hard soil right there. Might be. But before that day's over, God may be getting ready to get the big tiller out. You with me, church? God may have the tiller in hand, and he may be getting ready to break up that fallow ground so that that seed will take root and germinate and bring forth fruit unto everlasting life. On the other hand, you could say, you know what, that person's ready. That soil is soft. But right up under that little bit of soil that looks soft is a hard, big, old hard rock. And Jesus gave this parable. So God didn't call me, God didn't call you, God hasn't called us to examine the soils. He said, you be a sower. You can't tell the wrong person about Jesus. Somebody say amen with me. You can't tell the wrong person about Jesus. Tell them all. Hard soul, soft soul, wet soul, dry soul, tell them all. Tell them all. And so he said, number one, he said, just follow the plan. What's the plan? Look at verse number 6. He that goeth forth, you got to go. Amen. That's one thing I've been studying in the gospel accounts about when I was reading through and you were reading through those 10 chapters a day. And I get hung up on studying the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's amazing, brethren. It's amazing. He was just going, 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 and what? Sowing. He was going and sowing. He was going and sowing, but he didn't leave something out. We'll get to that in just a moment. He went down to people even outside of Israel's coast. He went down to the Syrophoenician woman, and she had a little daughter in Matthew 15, and she said, my daughter's sick. She's going to die. And you know what Jesus did? He ministered to her. And he said, you know, he said, the bread is for the children. And she said, I know my Lord. I know, Master. But even the dolls can feed from the crumbs that fall from the Master's table. Jesus was bringing her to that place. Think about that leper in Luke 17. He cleansed 10, and one of them came back, and Jesus ministered to him. Zacchaeus, Jesus was always going. Man up in a tree, Jesus found him. Hey, man, he said, come down. Salvation's come to your house today. Isn't that something? Going and sowing, never too busy. I mean, from an old wretched thief, a tax collector like Zacchaeus, and then over in John chapter 3, you got him. He's going and sowing, making a special trip out at night to get a religious man named Nicodemus. Just sowing. Just meeting him at the place of his need. Woman at the well. A woman of ill repute. A woman of stained character. And Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Why? Going and sowing. And he brought her to a saving knowledge. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God, if thou knewest the water that I will give thee to drink, thou would have asked me to drink for a drink of water. Right? Right? And on we could go. Jesus set the example for the assignment. And it didn't end after Jesus ascended. You study the book of Acts, and I mean, listen, those men and women were going and sowing, brethren. They were going and sowing. Whether it was in the city of Samaria like Philip or being called out from Samaria and going to the desert. And speaking to one man, the eunuch. Right? Acts chapter 8, Philip. Sowing. Acts chapter 10, Peter. Sowing. Cornelius. The assignment. Just go. Just go. As you go out, make sure you have your New Testament in your pocket. You know, when I got saved, I was taught, take your cigarettes out of your pocket and put your New Testament in there. A lot of people smoked back then. I never was a smoker of cigarettes. And for the adults, there's a coded message in that. And I didn't carry a pack of whatever I smoked in my shirt pocket, but I tell you what God helped me to do. He helped me when I put my New Testament there. And he helped me that when I got ready to be tempted, I could always pull out that New Testament. But I'm going to tell you something else he helped me to do. And this is all by the glory of God. God gets the glory. He taught me the importance of sowing the seed. Have you told anyone about Jesus in the last 24 hours? Have I? 48? 72? I'm not trying to shame you. I'm just saying as you go, sow. Go and sow. Get you a pocket full of tracts. Get you a pocket New Testament. Hide God's word in your heart so that it'll come out of you when you have those opportunities. I have great confidence in the word of God, and I'll share that in just a moment. So number one, the plan. All right, I've got to hasten. Go. Number two, the passion. You say, the passion is to sow. No, the passion is to weep. We've left weeping out. We just go and sow. Got to weep. Right? Is that what the Bible says? Look at it again in verse number 6. He that goeth forth. In verse number 6. And weepeth. Years of ministry. I have seen people weep people into the kingdom. You have too if you've been saved any length of time. Just weep over lost sinners. Might be a family member. I want to share a personal story with you, and I don't share many personal stories. My stepfather was a wicked man. I mean a wicked man. Smoked, drank, cursed, gambled, cheated. I'm not saying that to be mean toward him. I'm just telling you the facts. I've been called everything as a kid that you could imagine. Don't feel sorry for me. I have a heavenly father. I'm not angry at my stepfather. He was a sinner. He was a sinner. He got cancer right after Sheridan and I got saved. My stepfather was diagnosed with cancer. And he was laid on his deathbed. God broke my heart for my stepfather. I'd go see him. He'd be so sick he couldn't even get out of bed. And I remember one time, and I'm saying this so you can understand the power of tears. My stepfather didn't want to hear about my Jesus until one particular time. When I went to see him, he was laying in the bed, and I went in there and I stepped into the room, and I called him Peanuts. That's what we called my stepfather. I said, Peanuts, are you awake? And he didn't answer. So I went over to his bed, and I knelt down by his bed, and I began to pray and cry. I said, God, don't let Peanuts go to hell. God, don't let him go to hell. He's our man. He would tell my grandmother when she was visiting with us, don't you pray at this table. I don't want that name mentioned here. He couldn't stand God. He was a bitter old drunk. Bitter. He had lost his parents when he was about 11 years old. He was bitter and hard. And when I would try just to talk to him, he would just shut me down. Until he woke up out of a deep sleep with my tears staining his sheets. And me saying, God, save Peanuts. Don't let him go to hell. And I'll never forget, he woke up and he said, what are you doing, boy? I said, I'm praying. I'm praying for you. I don't want you to go to hell. And he just let out a big sigh. And he said, well, just keep praying. He turned over. And so I kept praying. About 2 weeks later, he was going to go to a veterans hospital. He was a war vet. And he said, this will probably be the last time that I'll make this trip. And I remember standing out in the front yard of our house. I don't know if Sherry remembers this or not, but I told him, I said, now you're coming back. He thought they was going to put him down, you know, on the bed and just let him die in the veterans hospital. I said, nah. I said, you're coming back. He said, what? I said, yeah. I said, God's giving me peace. You're coming back, Peanuts. And he did. And God did give me that peace. And that done something for him. And from that moment forward, now he said he prayed and asked Jesus to come into his heart. I don't know his heart. I just wanted to share that little, that's just little, listen, little bit of tears. I've seen tears. You've seen tears. When you shed tears for people, it does something. Tears waters the seed, brethren. Our churches have dried up. I don't want your pastor to dry up. I don't want you to dry up. I don't want us to dry up. You say, well, people think we're soft. I'm not concerned about that. I want to be soft in this way. I want to be soft and sensitive toward the souls of men. Don't you? He that goeth forth and weepeth, the passion. We've lost our passion. We've become satisfied. We've forgotten that Jesus paid an ultimate price. If just the price that Jesus paid alone were the only thing, that'd be enough. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it, brethren? I don't know that maybe they might not be somebody here. And I mean this from my heart. Don't you die and go to hell now. Don't you do that. You say, well, God won't let me. No, listen, God made you a free moral agent. If you die and go to hell, you will trample under your foot the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. And you will do spite to the Spirit of grace. Don't you die in your sin and go to hell. Don't do it. God loves you. And he wants you to come to him so he can save you and forgive you. And adopt you into his family. So go. That's the program. You got to go. Number two, weep. Right? That's the passion. The power of tears. Have you cried for anybody lately? So, well, I've lost my burden. I don't cry anymore, preacher. I've lost my burden. I've lost my burden to go. I tell you what it is. You quit going and then you lost your burden. Notice what the Bible says. Look at it. You go and then you weep. You don't weep and then go. Amen. Don't you, listen, I'm not being mean now, but don't sit around and say, I just want a burden to go. No, you go. I just want tears again. Well, then you start going. You get out there where they are. You get out there among the lost. You get out there. I get out there. We get out there among the lost, brethren. God, listen, mine eye affecteth my heart. Or my heart affecteth my eye. You get out there and you see it. You get out there around those folks and you remember what God saved you from and the bondage that they're in. It'll break your heart. Go. And then he said, weep, verse number 6. And then he said, bear and precious seed. So, right? So the program of God is to go. The passion is to weep. The power is the seed. The seed, Jesus said, is the word of God. Aren't you glad for the powerful seed of the word of God? Amen. So I'm just going to live my life. I'm just going to live my life, and that's going to do it. No, live your life. We've already talked about that. But you be sure to give them the word of God. I have confidence in the word of God. Give them the word of God. Sow the seed of the gospel. And I'm going to wrap it up. All right? I had some more things here, but I'm going to wrap this up. The last thing that I want you to notice is the promise. Look at the latter part of verse number 6. You go, you weep, you sow now. You sow. You sow. And then the Bible says, you will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now that's a promise. The programs go. The passion weep. think about when Jesus looked out over the multitudes and the Bible says he had compassion on them. Jude said, listen, having compassion, making a difference, tears. The power of the Word of God is quick and powerful, brethren. The Word of God will get the job done. Does it take my charisma or my life? Listen, they're not going to get saved by my life anyway. They're going to get saved by his death and burial and resurrection. It's the Word of God that begets people. Not the corruptible seed, but the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that we've been born again. Isn't that what 1 Peter says? It is. Said he'll doubtless come again. That sounds like a promise to me. You say, well, does that mean that everybody that I tell about Jesus and if I'll pray, they'll get saved? No, the Bible didn't say that. It just said that some of them will. Even the best soul winner lost a few. Jesus, there was a rich young ruler. You can close your Bibles and look right up this way. Rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And you know what Jesus, he said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. He said, you know, keep the commandments. And he gave him the commandments. He said, I've done all those from my youth. And he said, well, I'll tell you what you do then. He said, I'm gonna see about that coveting you got in your heart. And he said, I want you to go sell all that you have and take up your cross and follow me. And the Bible said he was grieved in his heart because he had many possessions. And he turned and he went away sorrowful. As far as I know, that young man never got saved. Now, some people think he did. I don't know. Some people think that was Saul. I don't know. Some people think it was the rich man in Luke 16. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But it's amazing, isn't it? You won't get everybody, but get somebody. Amen, church? Let's stand to our feet. Now, I preached a message that God laid on my heart. And I knew it was going to happen. I knew I was going to spend a little more time on that first. It's hard to get past that first little bit to that last part. But I'm telling you, brethren, the last part's where it's at. We have an assignment. Would you come to this altar this morning and either get your assignment paper stamped or pick them up this morning? Would you pick up your assignment papers and say, God, I'm going to start telling other people about Jesus. That's my assignment. I'm saved. Or I'm going to continue to, with your help, Lord, I'm going to continue to tell other people. Stamp my papers afresh. I'm re-enlisting. I'm re-enlisting in this thing. Let's bow our heads together.